WSHU delivers trusted news, reporting, and culture that keeps you accurately informed and authentically inspired. It's what we're here to do and what you count on. I'm WSHU News Director Terry Sheridan. Your financial support gives our reporters the resources to separate fact from falsehood and news from the noise. Thank you for listening and supporting WSHU Public Radio. We're expanding our world together.
You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news and culture update from around Long Island Sound. Plans to reshape PURA hit a major roadblock. A closer look at the recent spending bills being passed in New York. Golf fans have a chance to snag free tickets to this year's Ryder Cup on Long Island, plus a conversation on the newly selected Pope. Those stories and more are ahead. I'm Sabrina Garone. Plans to reshape Connecticut's Public Utilities Regulatory Authority have reached a major roadblock, WSHU's Molly Ingram explains.
Earlier this year, Governor Ned Lamont endorsed a plan to make PURA a quasi-public agency. That would allow him to appoint Senator John Funfara to PURA's board, which he had agreed to do in exchange for Funfara's vote to reconfirm PURA chair Marissa Gillette. Senate Republican leader Stephen Harding says the situation is corrupt.
I wish that the Senate Democrats put more effort or as much effort into this backroom deal they're trying to make work. And put that effort into reducing electric rates.
On Wednesday, the Connecticut Mirror reported the plan was off the table because Senate President pro tempore Martin Looney says it's too complex to deal with before the session ends next month. Anonymous Democratic senators also told the Mirror Looney faced a, quote, insurrection if he pushed the legislation. House Speaker Matt Ritter says he's confident there will be a bill to lower the state's electric bills this session.
I expect we'll have a really good bill.
A Lamont spokesperson accused Republicans of engaging in, quote, theatrics, and said they should focus on legislative proposals. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
New York State lawmakers have begun passing spending bills for next year with a price tag over $250 billion and almost 5 weeks after the budget was due. WSHU's Desiree Diorio has more.
The Metropolitan Transportation Authority will get $6 billion for its five-year capital plan. The MTA will use that money to fund improvements and station upgrades, including on the Long Island Railroad. Several measures of Governor Kathy Hochul's so-called affordability agenda are expected to pass. That includes a larger child tax credit and inflation refund checks. Some lawmakers from both sides of the aisle have criticized this year's budget process due to the short turnaround time between printing the bills and voting on them. The final budget plan increases total spending by over $12 billion, and it's $2 billion more than what the governor proposed in January. Desiree Diorio, WSHU News.
Connecticut's state librarian says she still doesn't know why the Trump administration revoked federal funding even after they were restored earlier this week. But she says she'll keep working to safeguard the grant. WSHU's Beatrice Lovato has more.
A federal court this week blocked the Trump administration from shutting down federal agencies that support public libraries and museums across the U.S. Connecticut was one of three states, alongside California and Washington, whose federal funding was fully zeroed out in April. Deborah Shonder is Connecticut's state librarian.
We don't know, unfortunately. We were not given any reason other than a generic message for why the grant was terminated. And at the same side, we also weren't told why it was reinstated either. There's a lot of things we could speculate about, but we were never actually given a reason for either decision.
Shonder says Connecticut will be getting the money as expected, and so will California and Washington.
So at this point, all 50 states are back receiving their funds, should be receiving their funds as expected. And then we were also notified that we'll be receiving, they're issuing an award for next year as well, which means we can anticipate having that funding again next year.
Shonder says the Connecticut State Library is working closely with other state libraries across the country and has strong connections with them to help safeguard IMLS funding. Beatrice Lovato, WSHU News.
The newly named Pope is the first ever from the U.S. A conversation about what that means and what to expect is coming up.
Local support comes from Hartford Healthcare. For the second time, all hospitals received A ratings from the Leapfrog Group, the nation's leading independent hospital monitor. This means that patients have access to the safest level of care, no matter which hospital they choose.
Classical music is alive. It's thriving because of contemporary artists responding to our evolving world. I'm classical music host Emily Boyer, and I'll connect you with today's top artists, plus music from the past that speaks to us now. Let art help you make sense of it all. Join me weekday mornings, streaming at WSHU.org and on the WSHU app, and on the radio at 91.1 FM and 107.5 FM.
A Long Island judge postponed the guilty plea of Thomas Massia, the former New York State trooper who allegedly shot himself on the Southern State Parkway and blamed it on a runaway driver. The judge pushed the plea deal back because he said Massia wasn't in good mental health. He's due back in court on May 21st. The Connecticut Senate approved a plan to allow cities to destroy vehicles involved in street takeovers. Owners would have 30 days to claim their vehicle before that could happen. The bill would also let police revoke the licenses of repeat violent offenders. The bill still has to pass the State House of Representatives. Governor Hochul will select the new board chair of Nassau University Medical Center, taking power away from County Executive Bruce Blakeman. New York lawmakers approved the restructure yesterday. A spokesperson for Hochul says the board's been mismanaged for too long. The Professional Golfer Association of America will hand out 3,000 complimentary tickets to New York residents for this year's Ryder Cup at the Bethpage Black Course on Long Island. WSHU's Christopher Schultz has more.
The giveaway is part of the PGA's new program known as the People's Perk. Long Island golf fans are eligible to receive tickets at random over the next 5 months. Each recipient will receive two free tickets. The regular ticket price of $750 has drawn criticism from fans. PGA of America's championship director, Brian Karnes, says the giveaway isn't related to the backlash. The Ryder Cup will take place in September. Christopher Schultz, WSHU News.
The newly named Pope Leo XIV is the first U.S.-born pope in the church's nearly 2,000-year history. He was born Robert Prevost in Chicago. WSHU's Davis Donovan spoke with a Sacred Heart University Catholic Studies professor about what that means and what to expect.
When Charles Gillespie heard the news, he jumped up with excitement, maybe first and foremost because they share an alma mater. Like Gillespie, Pope Leo XIV is a Villanova graduate.
This is not just someone from the United States. This is not just someone from the New World. For me, it's someone where I share a personal history with the Pope, and that's pretty exciting.
But even though Leo is from the United States, he's got deep ties to South America, like Francis. And Gillespie says that's encouraging.
It's always exciting when there's an election of a pope because it says that this ancient community can continue to come together and elect someone moving forward. And my hope is that those of us in the United States, where he's from, don't miss that this is another pope elected whose nationality and citizenship is in South America. What we're actually seeing here is a cosmopolitan sense of the world, someone who spent a lot of time on three continents, someone who knows what the church does by bringing together 1.4 billion people around the world. So I see the real excitement of not going to a church that Eurocentric, but continuing Pope Francis's legacy of having the church look to the peripheries, to the outside, to the margins.
How else would he continue Pope Francis's legacy?
So the two things we know already is that he was appointed by Francis to be in charge of bishops around the world. So this man was responsible for making sure that the pastors of Catholics the world over had the smell of the sheep, to use a Francis phrase. He walked out on the balcony, and his first comments as the newly elected pope was to give thanks to God for Pope Francis, and to use a number of his words like encounter and dialogue. And the last thing I think is we're going to see a continuity about the heart, and I think that's the strongest symbol of the election of Robert Prevost.
He's also an Augustinian, which means he's a member of a religious order, like how Francis was a Jesuit. Augustinians follow one of the greatest thinkers and writers in church history.
St. Augustine of Hippo, who some may know from reading in great books courses at places around the world, including at Sacred Heart University, from Augustine's Confessions, where he writes the very famous line, "Restless is the heart until it comes to rest in you, O Lord." there's a real sense that the way we respond to God is from our heart, from our desires, from our callings and sense of responding to the good that God has done for the world. And Robert Prevost actually alluded to a very famous sermon of Augustine's in his first Orbi et Urbi speech as Pope, which is to say that though I am a bishop, I'm also a Christian alongside you. Though I'm an Augustinian, I am a Christian along with the Christians of the world. And so what we're seeing there is a follow-up of a Jesuit Pope followed by an Augustinian Pope. So also a sense of the diversity of spiritualities within the Catholic Church, that there can be unity in the midst of differences, and the heart is one of the ways we respond to them. Pope Francis's last encyclical was titled Dilexit Nos. It was on the Sacred Heart. And we see the election of someone whose spirituality is grounded in a restless heart. I think what we're seeing here is a real emphasis of spiritual leadership that says that our desires, our hopes, and our loves are really important.
What is the significance to the name Leo?
Great significance. So the last pope named Leo was Leo XIII at the end of the 19th century, wrote the encyclical Rerum Novarum on the new things that was the inauguration of Catholic social teaching. This is the way the church has a moral voice in the world, and the suggestion that it is not possible to be a Catholic only with spiritual beliefs that have nothing to do with how we live in social life. By taking the name of Leo XIV, that is a clear signal that Pope Leo is going to put Catholic social teaching at the center of his papacy, a direct continuity with Pope Francis's desire to have the church be one of mercy and of care for the poor.
Charles Gillespie is a professor of Catholic Studies at Sacred Heart University. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
For the latest news from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online at WSHU.org, or with the WSHU app. After All Things is supported by Hartford HealthCare. If you've got questions about public media funding, we've got answers. Our quick guide explains what's at stake for WSHU, what we know so far, and how you can help. It's all in one place. Just visit WSHU.org. I'm Sabrina Garone. As always, thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your day.